Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you heal us, that you promise us that land of Sabbath rest in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our bodies, and in our souls. And Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We sit at your feet. We hear your voice. We obey you. Help us to see clearly, to hear clearly, and give us the courage to obey. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. All right, so we're going to talk about suffering tonight and healing, physical healing. We're going to talk about that. I have a couple. I'm going to just kind of, like I've done throughout, we're going to talk about, I'm going to answer the questions as best I can that were submitted. And we're in then that fourth chapter of Just Rest, where we're talking about body and soul, healing in body and soul. So there were two questions actually that were left over from last week that I didn't get to, but one of them, I didn't see it. It says, I need more help with negative thoughts. And I think that we have covered that quite a bit. So I'm not going to go any further into that. How can I make it a reflex to stop rather than turning to anger when my triggers happen? It's just practice. You just have to roll with your pop quizzes, and the pop quizzes will teach you if you're paying attention, because you will get so sick of being angry and falling into that same pattern that you will do whatever it takes. Ask your guardian angel. Another thing, and I know I've mentioned it several times, but this is so important. Go to your priest and ask for healing, the sacrament of anointing, for your thoughts, for your emotions, for your bodies. That those sacraments are very, very powerful. They are the big guns of the church. And we don't see more healings because we don't avail ourselves of those sacraments the way we should. Now, sometimes a priest, I haven't so far heard that I have sent anyone to ask for that and they have been denied. Because actually the rite itself specifies healing in body and soul. So the rite itself talks about that. So most of the time, I haven't heard yet that a priest has said, no, I won't do that. But if that happens, go to another one. Find it. There's no reason why you can't just go to another priest and ask them and find that sacrament and be anointed. Okay, can we ever blame the fluctuations in our hormones when we're triggered? Well, sure. That's a convenient scapegoat. And I will say that they do add to the, for me, they have, hormones add to the emotion of a pop quiz. And in fact, everything combines to make those pop quizzes just as terrible as they can possibly be. So, yes, they absolutely can. They can, in part, be responsible, but ultimately, you can't. It's like saying the devil made me do it. You know, you can't put all the blame on hormones. You can't put all the blame on the devil. You can't put all the blame on anyone, because those things are about us. They're not about the other person, right? Postpartum and hormones. That actually isn't a question. It's just postpartum and hormones. So, oh my goodness. But if there is postpartum, I encourage you to go seek medical help and get those evened out if they get too bad. Because what you don't want to do is get into a very dark place that you have a hard time, you're having a hard time digging out of. And they can, this is an area post, I'm sorry. Is that better? Can you hear me better? Postpartum is one of those areas where it's a very simple thing and it's temporary to get those chemicals back in balance. It's not difficult for them to do with medication. So while we resist medication, if you need it, then you need it. And there's nothing weak about needing it. So if that's going to help, then do that. And postpartum is one of those areas because it can turn dangerous very quickly. And you don't want that to happen. Is caffeine a problem for anxiety? Yes. Caffeine jacks your heart rate up. So if you're anxious, then caffeine is going to exacerbate that. That's in all kinds of stuff. Tea, coffee, chocolate. We know where caffeine is. So perhaps cut it back or limit it. My husband had, for the first time in his life, he had a panic attack this year. And we cut out caffeine completely for a while. And then when he was able to kind of work through some of the issue there, he wanted to add a little bit back. So we went half and half. And I could drink it like syrup, but I have to be careful too, because my heart flutters. So I have to watch it myself. So yes, it definitely can. But see, caffeine is a stimulant, and we use stimulants differently than you might use, say, alcohol, right? A stimulant kind of jacks you up, makes you feel a little more energetic, whereas alcohol will mellow you. So they're two different chemicals, but you know, they might have a different goal, but they're still chemicals. So you just have to watch that. Watch if you have an issue with anxiety, definitely cut out your caffeine. That will definitely help some. How to stay positive, well-being, or carrying across surrender. We'll get to that in just a moment. What if it is not possible to have one full day as a Sabbath? Why would God command something that would be impossible? It is not impossible. Now, is it very difficult when you work a job that forces you to work on Sunday? Yes. And you might need help from the Lord to work that out. Lord, I need another job opportunity. Lord, I need more money in this other thing I'm doing or whatever. But if you're serious about keeping a Sabbath properly, and I would argue that it will be next to impossible, if not impossible, to live free of anxiety if you're not keeping a Sabbath. That is one of the most basic principles. It's in natural law. You don't break that without all kinds of consequences, physical, emotional, mental, all of that. It is possible. If it weren't possible, God would not tell us to do it. And not only is it possible, it's necessary. It is absolutely necessary. It's necessary for your well-being, but it's also necessary to go to heaven. Breaking the Sabbath is a mortal sin. So there's no way around this. God's commands are not impossible. God does not command things that are impossible. They might be impossible for us, but not by grace. And keeping a proper Sabbath is possible. If you can't do it on Sunday, then choose another day. That's what our priests do. Our priests, they work on Sunday, and so they'll take another day. If you have to do that, then do it. But you still are obligated to worship. I struggled with that from in my early 20s and on into my 30s, working a job that wanted me to work Sunday. And of course, that was at a time where it was still acceptable to kind of just say, no, I'm not working on Sunday. I'm just not. It's not so much now. So you'll need God's help to either convince your employer to change his or her mind and allow you to have that day off, or negotiate it somehow. I don't know, but, or help you find another job or something like that. It's a lot less acceptable anymore to just say, I'm not working on Sunday. Although I think that part of why people make us work on Sundays is because we just fall over and let them. We just say, okay. How do you tame anxiety and rest during a chronic illness? So chronic illness, suffering. So the first thing I'd like to say about this is I am terribly, terribly sorry. Chronic illness is so hard. It is just so hard. When you're in chronic pain, when you have a chronic illness, it can be very discouraging. You battle some hopelessness. There's a lot that goes into that emotionally and mentally. God says a couple of interesting things in the scriptures about suffering. There are two kinds of suffering. Specifically here, we're going to talk about New Testament. We're talking about Jesus when he talks about suffering. When the New Testament approaches suffering, there are two kinds. There's apostolic suffering, where you endure certain things for your share of the gospel. You endure your share of suffering for the promotion of the gospel. That would include being persecuted by other people, misunderstood. For me, it would involve flight delays, spiritual warfare in my husband. It would involve, for you, it'll involve whatever you endure in the employment of your spiritual gifts or for the benefit of other people spiritually. That is apostolic suffering. That's why Jesus said, expect it. It will happen. You will be persecuted. You will suffer for the kingdom. But he never said that about suffering when it was sickness or anything like that. He saw and approached suffering in two ways, one apostolic and the other coming from sickness. And his response to suffering through sickness was always to heal it, because it ultimately comes from original sin. Now, does that mean that every single person who is sick is supposed to be healed? Well, I don't know, because I haven't prayed for every single person who is sick. And I imagine you haven't either. And a lot of people have, we all are given spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, and you're not using your spiritual gifts in the kingdom, you're missing one of the main pieces of your spiritual life. If you're not using your spiritual gift, you'll struggle with hopelessness, purposelessness, futility, boredom. Boredom. Is this all there is? I go to Mass, I come home, I go to Mass, I come home, I go to Mass, I come home. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have excitement in serving God, most of the time it's because we're not using our spiritual gifts. If you start using your spiritual gifts, you get jacked up. And sometimes you use them in your job or as a hobby. Some of you have the gift of hospitality and you love having people over. You love cooking for them. You love decorating for it. You love it and you're good at it. And people love coming to your home because you have that gift. And it is part probably of your personality and temperament, but it's also, it operates supernaturally because that is also a spiritual gift. There are lots of spiritual gifts, and I didn't even mean to go here. We're just going here, I guess, because the Lord wants you to know you need to use your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are, I am doing an online conference with 20 other people on Mother's Day on spiritual gifts, how to find what yours is and how to begin using it. There are several lists on spiritual gifts in the New Testament. So when you're using your spiritual gift and you're building up the church, let me mute everybody again. And you're building up the church, you will experience pushback. You will experience persecutions. Jesus said to expect it. But that's not the same as suffering in sickness and illness. God did not create us in sickness. He created us in perfection. And it was sin, the original sin, that caused that fall, that made that break. And now we all die and we experience sickness. So why does God not heal everybody? I don't know. But I know that God doesn't heal a whole lot of people because there are a whole lot of people with the gift of healing that don't use it. Number one, they're scared. They don't have the boldness. They don't have the faith. And number two, they don't know they have it. Jesus used healing as an evangelistic tool. And he used it to show people that God is the healer. Jesus is the great physician. By his stripes, we are healed. How do you tame anxiety and rest during a chronic illness? The same way the church has always told us, offer it up, but get thee to a healing service. Get yourself to someone with the gift of healing and ask for healing. Ask them to pray over you. We can pray over you. Every single one of us who is baptized and confirmed in the Holy Spirit has the authority over evil and over demons. We can pray for one another. We can pray for healing. And we should. So we're going to. Sometimes the healing is immediate. Sometimes it is gradual. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And in those times, that's when we offer that suffering back to God, knowing that it can be redemptive, both for us and other people. But we should never resign ourselves. We should never resign ourselves. God promises to heal. Sometimes that's here and sometimes that's in heaven. But ultimately, we will be healed fully. Dealing with illness and never being the same person you used to be. Yes, that's very difficult. And it's difficult in any major life transition, some sort of trauma or grief. There's a grief process involved in that. And part of that grief process is realizing I'm never going to be the same person that I was. And on one hand, that is sad. But on the other hand, it can and should be exciting too. Depression is hanging on to something that needs to be released and let go. We continue to hang on to it. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a situation. But we cling to it and we won't let it go. And yet it's the clinging rather than letting go that causes that depression in some cases. Grief, then, we have to let grief have its way and let it work its process of healing through us. Chronic illness is one of those things. Illness, period. You won't be the same as you were before. We all deal with this as we age. I'm not as pretty as I was. I'm not as skinny as I was. I don't have as much hair as I did. I have more wrinkles than I had. And it seems that the men seem to age beautifully and we just get uglier and uglier. We all have to deal with that. We're not the people we were. And that's part of that. We have to grieve that sometimes, that I'm never going to be. And honestly, I look back and I say, thank you, Jesus, that I ain't 20 anymore or 30. Even 40. I don't want to be that person. I'm glad that I'm not that person, but that physical part of you, right? It ages and it will die. And so we all have to come to that realization and deal with that reality. And life forces us to. So none of us is the same person that we were. And that's not a bad thing. Dealing with difficult chronic illness and having a hard time finding a way to go on after 5 years, is this God's will? As I said, get to a healing service. Ask God for healing. Ask people to pray for you. Ask people to pray for your healing, because who knows? If he doesn't do it all at once, sometimes he does. I've seen it happen. And sometimes our physical issues are related to spiritual issues, which is why we've spent all this time on our thoughts and our emotions, anxiety, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big block to healing. If we don't forgive, if we're harboring unforgiveness, you can forget about it. You can forget about it. I have, however, seen in evangelistic situations where who knows what's going on with that person. And because God wanted to show himself powerful, healings occurred in those situations, in evangelistic kind of situations, in very poor countries or in situations where people don't know God and don't even think about him, in those kinds of situations. So here's what I'm saying. I've spent all this time saying God, his grace builds on nature. And that is true. But it is also true that he is our healer. And he does heal today. He heals miraculously. He does. We should always ask. Do that work of the interior. And that's why you're here. You've been doing it. You've been doing this work. You've been building up your relationship with him. And it's not an earning thing. I'm not saying this because it's an earning. You cannot earn God's grace. Healing is a gift. It's a gift of grace. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that there are ways that we can open the way for the Holy Spirit, right? And unforgiveness is one of those things. We have to get rid of that. That prevents healing of all sorts in our thoughts and our emotions and in our bodies and our souls. Forgiveness is huge. And then we have to know how to battle the demonic. Sometimes sickness is an attack. And in physical healing, you go about it in exactly the same way. You start with what you know about what we've learned, and you do that. But ask for healing. Have people pray for you, because I've seen it, and God heals. The Holy Spirit heals. And if we find ourselves in a situation where we are suffering, that's when, don't let it go to waste. Find out where the pattern is and what the roots are. So sometimes the healing, then the physical, there are physical issues caused by spiritual and emotional issues. And so when you get those healed, then your body begins to heal too. I'm not saying that physical illness is always a sin or a fault or anything like that. I hope you don't hear me saying that, because I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there are a lot of times that our physical issues have roots in the spiritual and the emotional and the mental. So working on all of those things together helps facilitate full healing. But if we aren't physically healed, that's when we can look at those patterns, and we need to be doing all of this at one time. Don't just do it all at once, right? We're working on our thoughts. We're working on our emotions. We're looking at our pop quizzes. We're looking for the roots of all of our patterns of suffering. But a physical illness, a physical suffering, it's harder to define, right? Because you'll go to the doctor and the doctor will say it's this or this. And it is. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm also saying that sometimes, often, there are spiritual and emotional issues for our physical sicknesses. But ultimately, God is the healer. And a lot of times we don't even ask. We don't think somehow that we're worthy, but we're not worthy of anything God gives us. We're not worthy of salvation. We're not worthy of being healed of our woundedness. We're not worthy of any of that. So what's the difference in a spiritual and an emotional healing and a physical one? What's the difference? One's not any harder than the other for God. So why not ask? How does the desert relate to the dark night of the soul and to the bridge described by St. Catherine of Siena? I'm not familiar with the bridge, but the desert relates to the dark night of the soul. You might as well just say the desert equals darkness. So there are two kinds of nights in John of the Cross. There's the dark night of the spirit and the dark night of the senses, the night of the senses and the night of the spirit. The night of the senses is when you have begun following God and you've begun some good disciplines. You're praying, you're going to mass regularly, you're in touch with God on a regular basis, and it feels so good. He is filling you with consolations, and you're working in your gifts, and it is, woohoo, thank you, Jesus, I have found the Lord, and you are excited, and you're telling everybody about it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you will have done this for a while, and it comes to a screeching halt, and everything that you've done previously, you get nothing out of it. It's dry. It feels like a waste of time. What is the point? Where did God go? He must be mad at me. And what he's doing is he's withdrawing the consolations, the milk, Paul calls it. He's withdrawing the consolations and he's growing your faith. Are you serving God for what you can get from him, or are you serving God because you love him? And that's a decision you make in that night of the senses, because you're not feeling anything in the night of the senses. The night of the spirit is a deep, deep purge. And it's somewhat different, but they're both deserts. That's my point. So whether it's the dark night of the senses or it's the dark night of the soul, they're both deserts. They're dry. They're barren, they're lonely. The dark night of the soul is much more intense, and nothing helps when you're in that. I mean, it is just nothing. There are 2 degrees of desert here, but they're both deserts. Okay. I was in the New Age for about 17 years. I returned to a relationship with Jesus in 1990 and to Catholicism in 2000. That's not really a question, but I'm glad you came back. Lots of people, spiritual people, very spiritual people are often tempted in this way. They want to know, they want to understand. And so they start exploring. I have been that person. I have read everything under the sun, And in fact, some of the quantum mechanics in Just Rest, if you're not very careful, you could veer off into New Age. But see, here's the difference. And this is why I put this in the last chapter. God is not a force. He is not some power, right? We talked about it being light, about him being light, and he's spiritual light. But he's a person. He's a person with preferences. He's a person in relationship. That is a totally different idea than anything that I have ever heard in New Age stuff. In New Age stuff, the whole idea of controlling your thoughts and manifesting your reality is based on a force idea. This is the way the universe works. And if you just get in line with how the universe works, then you can get whatever it is you want. That is impersonal. It doesn't take into account that God is a person himself, that he creates from love. There's no love in that. It's selfishness. This is what I want. And when we talk about the way that physics is showing us what reality looks like, that can also veer off into something very impersonal. That's the reason I kept pulling it back in that last chapter too. God is a person. He's a person like you're a person. You're a person because he's a person. He has preferences. He is in relationship. And because he is personal, and because he creates from love, everything exists in love. See, that's something that has to be revealed. That's not something we can measure. You can't measure love. So I kept trying to pull us back to what the church has taught us, which, you know, when you explore in New Age stuff, some of it seems so spectacular. It's attractive. And it's also sometimes it seems easier. And the area of suffering is sometimes one of those places. But over and over, for instance, I can remember there was a time when I was reading a whole lot about near-death experiences. And I mean, they're as varied as denominations in Christianity. I mean, there are all kinds. Some say this and some say that. And here's the thing. I mean, there are people who have gotten very rich on sharing their near-death experience and what heaven is like and what God is like and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing about those kinds of things. You can't walk into somebody's foyer and leave and then say with presumption, you've seen the entire house and you know everything about that person that lives in that home. You can't do that. And that's what a near-death experience is. We don't even know what they are, but I'm just using that as an example. You can't walk into somebody's foyer and then presume that you know everything there is to know about that house or the people that live in it. You see what I'm saying? And that's what some of those near-death things and people who say they've seen heaven, that's how they try to extrapolate a small experience into what heaven is. And in the meantime, we walk away from what the church has taught us about what we know about God for something like that. The church has had 2,000 something years, and even that was built on Jewish history. Thousands of years to know what there is, what is revealed about God. And the church is God's word. So you don't want, and I'm not saying anybody here is, that's not, you know, you're not here, but I don't know. I feel like somewhere someone's dabbling and they're getting confused. Okay. So just trust the church, trust what the church says, trust what the scriptures say, because God cannot lie. And when things don't add up, it's because we don't have enough information. Trust the church, trust the scriptures, trust what God says about himself, or else you make him a liar. What's so interesting to me about what we're learning about physics is that what physics is showing us about reality is exactly what the church and the Bible have said in different ways all this time. That's what's so exciting about it to me. So that's part of why I share it. Plus, I'm just a geek that way. Okay, how do you figure out your spiritual gifts? If you just show up at that, when I start putting out stuff on it, you'll see it. All right. So it's an online conference. Latent autoimmune diabetes in adults. Please pray for healing for me. All right. We're going to pray for Carol. Carol, where are you? Oh, there you are, Carol. Can you unmute?
Hello.
Hello there. Tell me what you know about that. When did this come on?
I was diagnosed about 2 years. It's an autoimmune disease. The body sees a virus and thinks it's mimicking pancreatic cells, so it kills all the cells, the beta cells and other things. So I don't make insulin.
Okay.
And I'm insulin dependent.
Was there anything going on 2 years ago when this came on? Anything stressful, anything traumatic, anything?
Well, I'm a work in progress. So the Lord's been working on me for a while. I've had healings in other areas before. I went to prayer group. They thought it was type 2 at first. That's often, so that's kind of good information for people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when adults get diabetes, it's automatically thought of as type 2, which you can change by diet and exercise, but mm-hmm. you have to get tested and that's discovered. So prayed for my joy to be come back to me, because I was feeling myself getting depressed about the diagnosis, and
sure
was healed immediately. People laid hands on me and prayed. So yes, I agree with you about the power of
prayer.
Yes. And asking, and it is possible to be healed. I know it is.
Well, we're going to pray for you. Everyone Thanks. Join me, please. And let's pray for Carol. Holy Spirit, come. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to heal this autoimmunity, that you would pour your love into Carol, in her cells, in her nerves, that you would pour your love and your spirit into her body and heal it from the inside out. Lord, we ask in your name, in the name of Jesus, latent diabetes, autoimmune diabetes, we command in the name of Jesus that be gone. Flee from Carol's body. Carol, are you feeling anything at all?
Warm.
Warm.
That's good.
Where are you feeling warm?
Through my hands.
Yes.
A little bit here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just continue to just ask that you would pour your spirit into Carol and through her. Holy Spirit, come and heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your healing for Carol and this diabetes. Carol, can you see me?
Yes.
Be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Yes, the body keeps score. Okay. Diane is having a baby. Pray for Diane and her baby. She's being induced. Yes, Lord, we just pray that this would be a safe birth and a thrilling, happy occasion for the whole family, and that mother and baby would be safe and that they would bond very, very deeply. We pray that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Where's Mary Catherine? We're going to pray for her. Where are you, Mary Catherine? There she is. Unmute. All right.
Here I am.
Tell us what's going on.
Oh, boy. Well, I have the sinus issues, the stomach that we were talking about. Also, I forgot, I have extra heartbeat that wears my heart down. And lately, about a year ago, I found out I have an issue with the valve.
All right. Everyone, praying for Mary Catherine. I started for just a little bit earlier. Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, we ask you to be with us in power. You tell us that the kingdom is in power, not in speech. And so, Lord, I pray that your power would be made manifest here tonight, that your power would be obvious, that your desire that we be healed and whole, that we be at peace and at rest, would extend not only to our thoughts and our emotions and our souls and our spirits, but to our bodies. And I pray that for Mary Catherine in the name of Jesus Christ, that she would be healed of the gut issue, of the sinus, the drainage issue, the asthma, that all of her cells would fill with that light and that love that you are, and that they would just, that your love and your light would just ooze through her cells and through her body, that she would feel that love. And as that love courses through her, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would heal as you come. We believe, we have faith. We know that you are our healer. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. We claim that healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Mary Catherine, you feel anything?
No.
Okay.
Lots
of times we don't. Lots of times we don't. I do. I feel a little something. All right. Can you pray for my allergies, Jessica? In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that Jessica's allergies be healed, that her respiratory system would open, that it would be free, that she would breathe freely, that she would breathe the breath of the Holy Spirit, and that she would be healed of those allergies. Jennifer says, I was saved at birth through prayer. Amen. Anybody have a testimony of healing they want to share? All right. Oh, Jennifer, go ahead. Yes. Oh, wait, you're muted. There you go.
I was born a few weeks early. I was baby number four, and I was I had a huge tumor the size of a grapefruit at birth, and immediately the doctors knew something was wrong, so they took me away and transferred me to another hospital. They took x-rays so that they could operate on my tumor, but then they sliced me in half and then found out that I was bleeding too much and that it was a blood vessel tumor, so they couldn't remove it. So they had to sew me back up, and then they took another x-ray. And when they looked at the two different x-rays from before and after, they noticed something was wrong with my heart. So they called a cardiologist, and I had two holes in my heart.
Hmm.
They didn't know which one was causing problems, and they didn't know, they couldn't operate on me. So they put me on medication, but my mom's best friend and neighbor enrolled me in the Blue Army of Our Lady of Fatima Perpetual Mass. And I was remembered in prayer at the shrines of Fatima and three other churches around the world. And mm-hmm. within a year, the hole that was causing problems in my heart closed and the tumor shrank and disappeared.
Amen. Amen. Here's the thing too. Sometimes I have experienced, and I've seen too, where sometimes we pray for healing and we're thinking physical, and God does something spiritually miraculous, like heals a wound on the inside immediately. I've seen that done too. And that's almost, I don't know why, but it's almost more shocking to me because those inner wounds are so painful and they are so long term, you know. But we should always ask, is there anybody here in chronic pain? Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. All right. Y'all are quiet. All right. So then let us, as we close out, this is going to be then our last book club meeting. Are there any questions? I'm going to open it up here in the chat. If you have any questions about what we've talked about in the book club so far, or a praise or a comment or anything like that, now's the time. We have about 10 minutes, and I'm going to open it up for you if you want to do that. And if not, then I'm going to close this out with a prayer. A reminder that healing will come spiritually, if not physically, because there is always healing. That is absolutely true. Healing will come spiritually, if not physically, there is always healing. God always answers that prayer. You're absolutely right. I'm going to miss our book club. I'm going to miss it too. I've been actually thinking, is there not a way maybe we could just meet like every week or something? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm able to do. It feels like you were speaking directly to me tonight. How do I use my spiritual gifts without my husband's agreement? Without my husband's agreement. Well, what do you mean, Diane? What do you mean by without your husband's agreement? Where are you? Unmute.
I'm unmuted.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Well, what is your gift?
I just had to run and shut the door. Okay. I am a teacher.
Okay.
And I didn't know I was a teacher until the Lord pulled me into it, kicking and screaming. I found a school for my kids, and I thought I was going to scrub the toilets to pay for their tuition. And they said, no, we're going to have you teach. And so it surprised me, and it brought me alive. I have never, ever been so alive as well. It was in a Catholic school. I was teaching second to 12th grade, and I was teaching, it was amazing. And anyway, did that in to pay for my kids' tuition. You know, it was a swap thing. It's not a lot of money in that. And then after my kids were out of school, I was asked by my husband to get a job to that would actually pay bills. And I'm doing that. I'm working in the business world and I'm dead inside. Just like you said, when you don't use your spiritual gifts, you're bored. You feel pointless. Part of that was my kids no longer being, you know, needing mom as much. So I know that's where a lot of the pointlessness comes from, but.
Okay. So here's my question then. If you know that teaching is a spiritual gift, would he not allow you to do it at your parish?
Well, here's the problem. My degree is in business administration, not in teaching. So
what if it makes money? Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But our diocesan schools require you to have your teaching degree. And quite honestly, I'm not thrilled with the way colleges are presenting material for children to learn. I don't want to go back and spend a whole bunch of money on schooling to teach things that I don't agree with.
Right. Okay. So those are two different issues though. The issue with your husband wanting you to work and have a job is not the same as necessarily, it can be, but it's not necessarily the same as using your spiritual gift. Okay. So if you know that teaching is your spiritual gift, then you can use it in other ways. You can use it as a volunteer in certain situations. You can do that at your parish. You can teach CCD. You can volunteer and teach Bible studies at a prison. You can teach Bible studies. It doesn't have to be Bible. It can be anything. It can be catechism. It can be whatever, but find a place where you can use it. I used to teach these poor people. I went to a nursing home and taught Bible studies in a nursing home for years. And I was like 20. I didn't know beans about nothing, but they liked to see me. And I knew that they were a captive audience. And I loved doing it. I loved being able to just be with them. And I really was studying for it. And I really was teaching. So there are lots of ways. And here's the thing. It's a gift from God that if it's not used, you lose it.
Right.
So find a place. You can find a place. Oh, my word. We're up to 20 here. All right. Let's pray. I want us to pray for... I would love to be prayed for miraculous healing without coming on camera and speaking about a chronic, difficult illness. I understand. So, Holy Spirit, we do pray for anyone here in chronic pain. I pray that you would release them from chronic pain. Pain be gone in the name of Jesus. Chronic pain, chronic illness. I'm sensing, all I can sense here is this autoimmune thing. I don't know. Maybe there are several of you, but just this chronic something with muscles and nerves, something like fibromyalgia, maybe. Lord, we pray that you would heal that chronic illness. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. Well, I thought these were prayer requests, and this is, yes, I want to meet every week. A bunch of those. Can you speak to the driving out of demons and mental illness? Is there a correlation? Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. And that's the reason why the church has an interview process before she undertakes an exorcism for demonic possession. So they'll do an interview for mental illness because sometimes they present similarly. So they sometimes mental illness can be caused by demons, but many times it's not. It's pretty rare. It's more on the rise now because of our times and stuff. Possession is kind of up on the rise, but it's still rare. It's pretty rare. It's called extraordinary demonic possession, whereas there are, what's the other one? Extraordinary demonic possession and something else, but demonic oppression, which is different, right? So mental illness is different, but it can be influenced by demonic attacks, which is why I always tell you in your pop quizzes, we're all mentally ill when we're wounded like that. Nobody is as crazy angry as I was without being mentally ill. I mean, and I'm serious. This is the honest truth. I'm not exaggerating. If my mother had not left my father when she did, when I was 13, I would have ended up either in a mental hospital or in prison. Those were my only two choices. I can see it clearly. That's how I would have ended up. So what I'm saying is the enemy attacks you in your woundedness. So it's always an opportunity for demonic influences to get in, right? But just because someone's mentally ill doesn't mean they're being attacked by demons necessarily. They can be two different things is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? Did I make any sense at all? So please remember to keep in prayer all of the conditions that we have shared and heard about tonight. What about PSR for teaching, Diane? So she's talking about CCD or the classes at church. Tutoring school or service, that's a good one too, yeah? The harvest is abundant, the laborers are few. Please pray for the healing of my... thank you for bringing that up. I meant to do that, Christina, and I'm sorry. Dental issues, they're breaking. One is loose, and I'm also 21 weeks pregnant with my third child. Dear Lord, I pray that you would infuse those teeth with strength and power. I pray for Christina's dental issues, that the pain and the crumbling that's associated with what's going on in her teeth, that you would heal that. Lord Jesus, we pray, we know that you're the healer. We ask that you would heal her dental issues and that you would also protect. I'm getting the sense that there is a deficiency somewhere. Lord, I pray that you would make up for any deficiencies in vitamins or nutrients or anything like that. I pray that you would make up for that and also point it out through her doctors so that she can get help that way as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. God is working here. I keep tingling as we pray for everyone. Yes, that's definitely a sign. A good confession is more powerful than an exorcism. Yes, thank you, Obsession. A good confession is more powerful than an exorcism. Amen to that, sister. Thank you for that reminder. Dealing with progressive fatigue and low blood pressure at times, doctors can't find physical reason. With testing, one doctor does feel it's emotional. And after these meetings, I also know there are issues that may be a factor in this. Please pray for me for wisdom regarding this and that we get to the bottom of it. Yes, Lord, we just pray for insight. We pray for whatever information needs to come to light, that you would bring that to light. I pray also, though, in the name of Jesus, that she be healed of this progressive fatigue and this low blood pressure. Holy Spirit, yes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in power. Infuse her body with strength. Holy Spirit, is there anything else? I pray for someone with neck pain. I pray for full recovery in the movement of your neck in the name of Jesus Christ. be loosened. For back pain, I pray for healing of the back muscles, the strengthening of the spine, the elongation of the spine and the neck. That all the tendons, the ligaments, the joints, the muscles, the blood vessels, that all of that would fuse back together in support of the back and the structure of the back and the neck. I pray for the healing of migraines. Be gone, migraines, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, is there anything else? Lord, we combine our prayers. You say where two or more are gathered and we ask anything in your name that you will do it. And we all gather here together to pray for our sisters with chronic illness, chronic pain, chronic suffering. For those that have been mentioned, we add our prayers. You give us the authority. Through your woundedness, through your stripes, we were healed. And we claim that and we walk in it. Lord, you say that your kingdom is in power, not in speech. And so, Lord, we pray. We want to see that power. We want to walk in that power. We want to share that power with the world. Help us. I pray that every single woman here would find her spiritual gift and get to using it. Find a way to use it. Lord, we confess that the church is languishing because we are not using those gifts the way we should. Give us boldness. Give us that boldness to just step out and say it. Step out and pray for one another. Pray for those people that we see who are sick, who are suffering, who need you. They need you, Lord. And we sometimes are the only Jesus they're going to ever see. Give us that boldness. Break our hearts for your people. Lord, I pray that you would just console every woman here, that everyone would feel your love. You promise us that rest. And I know, and you know, that we need your love more than anything else. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just fill ourselves filling up with your love and your mercy and your grace. I pray for blessings on these women. I pray for blessings on their marriages. I pray for blessings on their children, on their grandchildren, on their bodies. I pray for blessings and healing in their souls and their spirits. I pray that you would cease this anxiety that has gripped us. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety. I rebuke the spirit of depression. I pray for release. Loose your daughter and make her free. We give you all the thanks and praise and glory for all of the healing that you have done for us to this point. We look back over where we've come and we are amazed that we are even standing here knowing who we were just a few short years ago. And Lord, I pray that that would extend to our bodies as well, that we would push into that healing fully, and that we would dare to touch the tassel of your cloak for that healing and continue to come after you and continue to ask and continue to seek your face for our healing, because it is a promise and you do not lie. And we believe, Lord. We believe. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have accomplished. Thank you for all you are going to accomplish and all that is going to grow from this night. I pray that all those healings. Oh, I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are our Savior. You are our healer. We owe you everything. Make us bold. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew, I could just about go off and cry. Mercy. All right. Everybody seems to agree we need to meet every week. I mean, I really have kind of thought about it. Let me just kind of think about it and see. Can you speak to the drumming on a demon? Okay, yeah. This, I must be all the way at the top again. Okay, sorry. Oh, thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Yes, your prayers help me. Your prayers help. All right. All right, my dears. I love you. I don't even want to go. Is it just me? I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Plus, I'm bawling. So sorry about that. All right. Oh, for Joan's anemia, pray for Joan's anemia as well. Yes. Dear Lord, I rebuke anemia in the name of Jesus. Give her back that iron that she needs. Help her blood to produce the iron that she needs. We pray. All right. Well, that is all. Our next series, my website is still really, it's still really messed up because of that migration. So the next series, I'm probably going to have to postpone it for a couple of weeks because I can't even get the, I can't get even the pictures to show up on some of those, the pages. So I don't know what's going on with that, but you'll know when I know. But the next series is going to be on marriage, our vocation, or how our vocations, how God uses our vocations to heal us of authority wounds. But the concentration will mostly be on marriage. So we're going to talk about all that sticky marriage stuff. All right. I send you with my love and my prayers, and I feel yours for me. So thank you. Thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for sharing your questions. I pray that you'll be able to use the tools that we have talked about throughout the book and the series and continue to build on the healing that has already begun in your life. That is my prayer for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Good night. Mwah! I'm gonna scroll through one more time. Bye. Thank you. All right. Good night.